Chairman Noli,
here.
Chair Randall,
here.
Chairman Bulova,
here.
Chair Crystal,
here.
Mayor Silverberg,
here.
Mayor Parrish,
here.
Mayor Meyer,
here.
Councilman Snyder,
here.
Mayor Rochelle,
here.
Senator Black,
here.
Delegate Hugo,
here.
Ms. Hines,
here.
Mr. Cole, Mayor Burke,
here.
Ms. Cuervo,
here.
And Todd Horsell.
Yeah.
Chairman, we have quorum.
Thank you very much. The first item before us is the minutes of May 10th, 2018 meeting. Set on designated any changes in comments now. I'm sorry. That's not presented. I need to announce that for the purposes of compliance with the Something Act,
Freedom of Information
Act, Classified Information Act, Delegate Hugo is not physically attending the meeting in person. However, because we have a quorum physically present in the room, he is utilizing one of the two opportunities he has each year to participate by telephone. The lawyers say that is sufficient for public disclosure. Okay. Now the minutes are approved. Motion from Mayor Parrish, second, to Chairman Bulova. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Manifest is passed.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I will be brief, but I just want to note the adoption of your FY 2018-2023 six-year program, noting that you issued the call for projects for this program on October the 12th of last year, immediately following the adoption of transaction. Project applications were due on December 15th, and the resolutions of support were due January 19th. At your April 12th meeting of this year, you released 60 candidate projects and related information for public comment. The public comment period started the following Friday, and it ended May 20th at midnight. We also had an open house and public hearing last month, May 10th, here in this room, and we did receive a lot of public comment and a lot of feedback, so thank you to everyone for that. I do want to note that we did use a project selection process comprised of five components, and per the revenue estimations that the authority adopted, we anticipated that we would have $1,285,281 available in PAYGO revenues for this six-year program. MBTA staff did make funding recommendations, and we recommended 40 projects. We did take our funding recommendations to the Planning Coordination Advisory Committee on May 23rd. the Technical Advisory Committee on May 30th, and then those recommendations were considered at the June 6th Planning and Programming Committee meeting. I do want to note is that your PCAC endorsed the NVTA staff recommendations by a vote of 6-1, and your Technical Advisory Committee unanimously endorsed the staff recommendations. At your June 6th PCC meeting, the authority's staff recommendations were accepted, but you did make two adjustments to those recommendations, and it said two adjustments, it's actually four, because you took monies off of two projects and subsequently added those funds to two additional projects. So what happened was the City of Fairfax stated that because of the nature of the Oakley Highway project and the urgency behind that project, they requested a reduction of $5 million from Germantown Road project, and then requested that $5 million be placed on the Oakley Highway project. We also had a request to do another adjustment in Prince William County, where you were taking money from Clover Hill Road interchange at 234 Clover Hill and placing it on the Summit Hill Road at Telegraph Road project. So we made those adjustments, and it came up to be four adjustments total. Now, we do want to note that these were not just political preferences. We did, as discussed at the Planning and Programming Committee meeting, we talked about the urgency of the project. One of the reasons why the Clover Hill Road interchange scored so well, because it was only $12 million, or I think it was $13 million, and that's really the reason why it scored so well, but given the other interchanges that were being advanced by staff recommendation, those interchanges had a little more urgency to them than the Clover Hill Road interchange. I think Mr. Chairman made the case regarding the Summit Hill Road project that it creates access or provides access to one of the largest park and ride lots in the Commonwealth. So we did want to take that into consideration, especially with what's going on with the express lanes on I-495. Thank you, 395. Are there any questions?
That $25 million, and so it is actually
funded to the full amount of your account across the pipe grant. I want to say that. And of course, I want to talk about the Hillsborough project, which is what it is just serendipitous meant to be. The Hillsborough project was funded because the interest on money in the bank from NDP was about 12.2 million. Hillsborough was 12.1 million. So we're going to fund that and get money back from that project. I also want to say that the outreach of the work from Hillsborough has been astounding, and it is no doubt the most shovel-ready project on our of all the projects we have. And there are projects that obviously are not funded to the full amount in all counties in all locations. But I do believe that this represents a fair distribution of money across the jurisdictions. I would echo something Chair Crystal said last time, which is, do we want to look at more multimodal options? And so we talk about multimodal, it's not just roads, but we do want to look toward transit, we do want to look toward bike and head, all those types of things. And that's something to be aware of in the future. However, this 6-year program is just about as good as it can get. The process has been arduous, and we have an interesting time for this General Assembly session. But we pulled through and we got through, and I just want to thank everybody. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I would just like to comment on the process, and I mentioned this the last time. What is really interesting is that, of course, the legislature has imposed many alterations on how we will deal with the projects and how we prioritize and so forth. And I think this particular program that we've laid out this year reflects all of those in a very balanced way. And I think that we have sort of achieved a level of maturity where the authority has implemented both the letter of the law and the spirit of the law, and done it in a way that accommodates the various needs of communities. I just want to go beyond that, and I want to mention that with Hillsborough, as you have given mention, the Hillsborough effort is truly heroic. I mean, this thing has gone on for many years. This didn't start in last year or year before or something like that. It has been going on, and they have found ways to cut the cost of the project, to increase the efficiencies, and they brought those things to light in ways that allowed us to integrate them into the statutory requirements and fund that project and do it in a way that ultimately is going to save money to the Commonwealth. It's going to save a substantial amount of money. And so I was commenting before that I think what Hillsborough has done is the kind of thing that we make a terrific report in a government magazine where they say, okay, here's the way you do it. Here's a community that did something absolutely spectacular. And so my compliments to all of the people. We still have many of the people of Hillsborough in this room right now. Mayor and Vice Mayor, congratulations on just an epic achievement for a small community. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Wonderful effort, and I would be remiss if I didn't point out how much we appreciate the PCAC resolution recommending the authority pursue legislation to find an alternate source of revenue for the $154 million amount of funding. I think that's an important part of from the Rule 4.
Yes, sir.
Sure. So, having been part of the predecessor organization, I think we've really reached a milestone with this, and it's very positive. This has been a very, very transparent and inclusive process. We've ended up with a multi-modal approach. I think there's a fair allocation to the various jurisdictions. Same time we're doing this, we were also moving forward on the metro funding and do some additional work there, but that's also very, very important. I'd like to thank everybody involved. I mean, the opportunities for this to be generated in the controversy, there's certainly many. I mean, we collectively runs the government, our citizens, our staff, certainly the staff of this organization and this board. So it's a real honor to be part of this. So I look forward to your voting for it. Thank you.
I would just like to say thank you to the staff for all the outreach that did come up that we ended up doing. It's really very useful, and people really felt like they were involved in the process. So I really appreciate that. And I want to especially thank the authority here for the fact that we had six projects that involved the town. And I'm very grateful for that. The town's, and I had a long speech ready to argue about how important Hillsborough is, but I don't need to do that. So thank you very much, and I appreciate all the effort
everybody's doing. Del Hugo, please.
Yes.
Del Hugo, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to thank everyone for the time and effort to put in this comprehensive transportation plan together for Northern Virginia, especially thank Monica and the staff. You know, and I know there's been a disagreement over recent actions of the General Assembly to fund Metro, but I think we all agree funding is necessary. And I know many of the elected officials in Northern Virginia have stated that, you know, we should not take Metro money from roads to fund Metro. I think in the original draft, it looked like there was $150 million in the six-year plan. I think it looks like to me most of that has been deleted. And if that's correct, I want to say I appreciate the PPC's efforts to thoroughly review the staff recommendations and prioritize existing NDTA money for road projects. But thank you all.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Okay,
thank you. There are lots of people to thank. Certainly the staff. The staff from Richmond and representing Richmond, as well as my colleagues on the NDTA for the jurisdictions and all of the jurisdictions. Not enough to be said. So I'll be glad about that. Let me also remind everybody that it really started in the early 2000s. With a piece of legislation that was passed with no challenge, that ultimately brought us to where we are today. And you'll remember over the years, I've said something like, we want to see what MBTA can be when it grows up. And it's not grown up yet, but it's on its way. And as a final comment, Hillsborough, I enjoy hearing from you.
I want to echo the comments of my colleagues here and say thanks to staff. Always outstanding, very available, really receptive, and hardworking. And obviously, an honor to work with such great colleagues here, Chairman Bell, and your leadership. And we did talk about a week ago about the things that Chair Christian had mentioned, associated thoughts with her thoughts on that, or multimodal. And I give up in the future we can come back and think about some of the issues related to the Western Transit. But now I do want to thank the staff and everyone. Thank you.
So if I may, and not to belabor or to too much repeat my comments from the prior committee meeting, but Mayor Parrish, I love the way you said about hoping to see what NBTA becomes when it grows up. So in the spirit of aspiration for where this organization might head, I would like to just reiterate my hope that for future six-year plans, we can reflect not only the best possible work within our constraints, which this vote before us absolutely does, but actually the best possible outcome for the growth of the region as we add residents, as we add jobs. I think it is clear to many of us that we cannot simply build more roads to alleviate the problems of congestion that are so acute for so many of our residents and workers. So, again, I think, and we'll vote for the six-year plan before us, as I did with the committee, because I do think it reflects smart work, it reflects some realities, it reflects the chief criterion we've been mandated to use about congestion relief. It reflects sensible prioritization in light of prior spend down or lack thereof, which has been some of our biggest challenges with the potentially transformative metro, a lot of projects. And yet I fear it doesn't reflect what this region will truly need, which is more creative thinking, more multimodal thinking for the long run, for the next 20 years, 30 years, as this organization grows up, as our region grows up. So all of which is to put that aspiration for the longer term future on the record, but nevertheless, really can't echo others' comments enough in thanking the authority staff for a tremendous amount of work. This was a moving target. I know that it was amended along the way. It has nevertheless been, I think, inclusive of the public, which is a standard which we all strive. So I'll be pleased to vote for it.
I think there's been a lot of concern in transportation that we move into this metric-driven arena, that we will either become overly constrained by the metrics or ignore the metrics. And I sometimes think that the Hillsboro example is one that can be used on both sides of that equation. And I think what's important to say is that metrics actually do matter here. So does commerciality. And so does what we all know about our jurisdictions and how our jurisdictions think. And the tools that we have here, while some of them feel cumbersome, actually give us a good platform to stand on to defend the decisions that we make in a way that didn't exist prior to all of these changes that were made as a result of the bill in 2013. And so I don't want, I think it's really important for communities to feel like they can get their arms around it and that they can do as Hillsboro did, understand the drivers and adjust their project and bring the human face to bear, just as we say, we can't do it without the metrics. And so that's the balance and sort of the dance we're in now. I think we have to keep saying that over and over, because I think when you get down to the one pager with the dollars and the numbers, all of that is sort of hidden. But in fact, this represents an incredible amount of analysis and thoughtfulness about what the projects are and how to bring, to get the biggest bang for the buck that we have in ways that really solve problems for people. So, kudos to everybody who worked to make that happen. Kudos to a community like Hillsboro that figured out how to do it. I want to say what I said at CPC about that too. They have pointed out to other CPC members how important it is for small towns to have access to consultant money in order to get their projects right. And I think that is a challenge MTA is going to have to take up at some point. It doesn't take a lot of money to hire a good consultant to come in and really help you understand what your options may be. But a small town like Hillsboro to find that $50,000 or whatever, it's really hard. And so if we really care about solving some of these problems, having tiny good systems on whether at the state or the regional level, it's going to be important to getting good projects. So just the pin for the
I might speak briefly about looking at this through the lens of a small community. When I was elected 10 years ago, elected to public office 10 years ago as council member, we had a lot of touch points within our city and on the borders of our city that were failing. And we had no money. We had no resources. And our options were few, and people were quite frustrated. 24,000 people surrounded by 1.1 billion. We have since done a multimodal study that confirms what we knew anecdotally, which is 65% of the traffic in our city is from other outside sources. Now we have resources, and we have the ability to do some things. And I would characterize this plan as one of balance. It balances east and west,
in the region. It balances large and small, and it balances present and future. And 10 years from now, in our city, for example, you know, we now can target certain key intersections for congestion relief, but we can also balance that investment with the trails, sidewalks, bike share. And 10 years from now, we'll still need the balance. But the deltas between our relative jurisdictions are going to be quite different. There's still going to be a need for balance. And so there'll be that creative tension. And I hope that those who are sitting around this table 10 years from now will look upon this initial effort as a legacy and a guidepost to continue that quest for balance.
Everyone else is gone.
Just want to say our thanks. I mean, it's been wonderful working with the staff, working through the 599 issues and being able to hand that over to staff to take care of with just a little bit of review and oversight from our side of the house. We're very appreciative of that. They've been wonderful to work with. And I am always impressed, and I think anyone who visits our region, who comes and sits and sees how a really great organization can run, how a region can be run well with everybody growing in the same direction to be a successful region. I think it really sets the mark on that. And I do hear people who do come up and have a moment to look at this, how impressed they are with how the collegial attitude and how people work together to be successful across all their borders. So just have to be part of the group.
Well, I'm the only one left. I'll just echo what Helen said on behalf of the Commonwealth and on behalf of DRPT. We're looking at some issues with our capital funding going forward, and so it's very nice to see that 29% of this program is being spent on public transportation projects, and it's always helpful for us when there is other sources of funding and projects. Of the 9 transit projects that are funded, the RPT has other funding in like 7 of those projects. So that's really always, it really helps to leverage state funds with other sources of funding. So and again, we're just, I would echo Helen's comments, and we're really appreciative in MBTA and the process that you've all.
So, Chairman's Brown, everybody can go last, right? Actually, I'd like to be a person, friend. This is actually a really big deal for me. I remember sitting in meetings I think back to planning, and we didn't call it the planning program committee at the time, but like the projects committee meetings. Back in 2007, we were talking about HB 3202, and we talked a lot back in those days about what the organization should be when we reach the place that we're doing what we need to do. And there's always this iterative process. And of course, we got a couple of the things done that we needed to do sort of for the first time. That when we, for the first time we developed a project list, for the first time we developed a financial plan, for the first time we developed a bond initiative. And then for the first time, in that case, we actually had to vote to raise taxes within this authority to make it all work. And then the whole thing got blown up in the Supreme Court, over some constitutionality issues, and sort of we had to go back to, back to the go place, and we didn't get the place. So you're almost the same people say. But then we had to go back to step zero on that. And then Monica and myself and others having the same conversations about 5 years ago, when the HB 23, for 4 years, we went to 23-13 passed. And there was this list of things we had to do. We had to develop our first project list. We had to adopt our first plan. We had to, for the second time, kind of the first time for this group, adopt a bond validation. We had to go through a bond validation suit. We had to go through our first credit rating agency. And then and every step there was always this, that's great that you did that, but you haven't yet done this other thing. We adopted the plan. Yeah, but you haven't done the bond validation suit. Okay. So we did the bond validation suit, and it was, you haven't got a credit rating. Okay, we got a credit rating. Well, you did this is the first year. You still really need to develop an HB 599 program. So we developed the HB 509 program in conjunction with VDOT. And then it was, well, you know, you didn't include the transit projects in that HB 509 number, so you got to make that more robust. So we did that. And then it's, well, you know, you really need to get like that third year. And then you really got to update transactions. And you know, there's always one more thing. Until we do that, we haven't really gotten there. And what Monica and I discussed was, the thing that was going to be the last thing that was the, yeah, but you haven't, was a six-year plan. Right, sort of that there's this criticism that sort of hung over us. Of you're doing these 1 year plans. You're kind of funding projects and then stopping, and you need to get to the place. And this is I think it's criticism. We need to get to the place where we're looking into the far future. With the adoption of this tonight, we will have approved 10 years worth of funding. And we will have adopted projects the way that large capital funding organizations assign funding projects. This 6 year plan is what we were created to do. And all the things we did up until then were all very important. And they were all very important because they were leading to the development of the first 6 year plan. And I would say that in terms of the 9.5 years that I've been chairman of this organization, I have to pause you in that in a second, of all the things we've done in my association with this organization, it really hasn't been that long, tied with the United Adopted transaction last year. I walked out here with a big smile on my face about the adopted transaction. The adoption of this 6 year plan, those are the two things that I can say, we're where we need to be. And everything we do moving forward will be an improvement on what we've done tonight, but it will be, this is the last thing that we have to do for the first time. And that's a really big deal. And I want to thank every member of this authority and the members who are with us and the members who are no longer members and the literally, this is not hundreds of staff people who have put in tens of thousands of hours, whether they work for the MBTA or work for our jurisdictions or work for the agencies. Literally, we've gotten tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of man and woman hours worth of work out of hundreds of staff people to get us to this place. And I go around everywhere I go and I say that I'm the chairman of the premier transportation planning, programming, and funding organization in the Commonwealth of Virginia. My rules rise, because the slide actually says we're the premier planning, programming, and funding organization in Northern Virginia, and I leave out the word Northern, so I stand by that statement. But tonight's the night of improvement. Tonight's the night, so we do it right. We do it the way it's supposed to be done. We've done it in Black Point. And we have done it every step of the way in compliance with the letter of the law, in compliance with the spirit of the law. Even when the law changes a few weeks before we're supposed to make a decision, we still comply with it. And we've actually got stuff we're doing tonight in a certain way so we can comply with the law one last time. And I want to thank everybody for this, because this is really the culmination of everything we've been working on. The only thing I'll say is this. There's another phrase that everyone in this room has used a lot over the last year. And I think this is important. We keep touching on Hillsborough. I'm not sure the name, you guys are you've become like the poster child for like a good project. And I just feel like everyone else, I don't need 2 hours of testimony on any project. You just do the stand up thing. But I will say that the phrase that I have used more times than I wish I had to over the last year is that we've all used it is the most important thing is that we get funding for Metro. Right? That's what we keep saying. The most important thing is we get funding for Metro. And you're not going to hear me say that anymore. So let me talk about this stuff. Because funding for Metro has happened. Governor signed the bill. The money starts flowing on July 1. And it's no longer the most important thing that needs to happen. It might be a very important thing that has happened. But we are no longer, as an organization, in the box of, God, go find money for state and repair. That's not our problem anymore. We are now going to focus on these projects and the projects that will come next year and 2 years after that. And what I know is that the Dulles Area Transportation Alliance breakfast yesterday morning, and one of the things I said to that group was, catch with that phrase, the most important thing that we did was get funding for Metro, is that every project on this list, the ones we fully funded, the ones we partially funded, and even the ones we haven't put any funding on, every project on this list is the most important transportation project in the region to the people who will benefit. If you are the person who will drive through this intersection, or sit on this bus, or get the bus moving faster because of the ITS project, whatever it is, if you're the person benefiting from it, this stuff is the most important stuff that we're doing now, and is the highest priority now. And then next year we have an opportunity to decide what the next step of the most important thing is. And I think that's what makes this job really cool, is that we get to solve the biggest problem that people deal with. Northern Virginians complain about traffic more than they complain about their spouses or their kids, or their, you know, I use the letter all the time.
We can't solve this problem.
We can't solve this problem. But as members of this authority, we get to solve the problem that people complain about the most. And there are countless numbers of people who, because of, you know, pick a number, project number 22 on this list, Dulles West Boulevard widening. I don't even know what that project is. But there's a lot of people who don't know yet that they're really, really happy that they complain so much. So thank you all very much. With that, we have a vote. All in favor, please say aye. Any opposed? We have 611, everybody works for Jack.
That work wrapped up last year. And the Commonwealth is actually its authority in conjunction with DDR and DRPC did submit an application for another federal grant last year to continue the work. Unfortunately, that application was unsuccessful, but there were matching funds from the Commonwealth, and hopefully the Commonwealth will be able to deploy those funds in the not-too-distant future to do some foundational work associated with the planning work that was done previously. And your application, the Smart Scale funds, will actually then take that foundational work one very large step further by looking at a project which comprises four tasks, which are listed under Section 4, A, B, C, and D, where the project will enhance commuter parking data, which will provide a lot more information to provide the travelers in real time about various options that exist across the region. To develop a mobility as a service dashboard, which is targeted at transportation providers to help them understand service gaps and how they can amend their services to kind of address those service gaps on a near real-time basis. An AI, it's artificial intelligence, sorry, because my intelligence is failing me. An artificial intelligence-based decision support system with prediction, which is the closest thing we can get to a crystal ball right now. But this component will look to predict the conditions which history has shown us leads to problems, and then anticipate those problems and be ready to respond in the event that those problems actually do manifest themselves. So a really advanced approach. And then the fourth component, to develop a data-driven tool to incentivize customer mode and route choice, incentivize being the key word here, to actually to use the opposite to tolling, as it were, to actually offer people something, doing something that would help the situation. It's almost like paying people to make a change in their own travel behavior. It's an incentivization program, that the money itself won't necessarily be used to pay for incentives, but it will develop a system that could do that. Possibly building off some work that's been done by the University of Maryland on behalf of the region already. So there are a lot of benefits that we see with this project. We're expecting the cost of the funding request to be in the region and not to exceed $15 million. And we're going to look to leverage projects which this body has already funded in the ITS field. Prior to this evening, a number of projects in Alexandria Hutchinson were ITS-backed projects, and now as a result of recent action, there's a whole bunch more projects which are ITS-related, which will all be very synergistic with this application if it comes to be, and if the Commonwealth approves the funding next year. It's highly consistent with the regional priorities that are in transaction. Indeed, there are five projects listed under item 7 which are in transaction related to cultural management and travel demand management. So it's very, very consistent with the regional priorities that you established when you adopted transaction last October. And there are a number of other projects as well that is also consistent with that are not listed on here. It's totally consistent with your strategic plan, which you approved last November. And I'd say in conclusion that this is possibly, I'm not prone to hyperbole, but this is possibly the most regional project that has ever come before you. Its geographic footprint covers the entire region. It's expandable to include the Fredericksburg region, going south along the Atlantic corridor in due course, not part of this application. So the geographic footprint is from Route 15 to the west, all the way to the Potomac River, from Route 7, all the way around to Route 1. It's pretty much the entire region. But not only is it regional from its geographic footprint, it's regional from its multimodal inclusiveness. There's not a mode of transportation which isn't covered and benefit from this application if it's successful. including Black and Pay. And thirdly, from a regional standpoint, it will leverage a coalition that's already been established, which is comprised not just of your jurisdictions and agencies, but also a broad range of other state, regional, and local players in this field, including, for example, Virginia State Police and other bodies deal with operations on a day-to-day basis and will benefit from this technology. That coalition already exists, has existed for a couple of years. In my experience with technology projects, the thing that always trips you up is not the technology, it's the institutional framework in which the technology is being applied. And this region is first in the nation, in my opinion, for that coalition. So with that, I'm happy to take any questions. The attachment does include, if you're interested, the project application in its current form. This is just a placeholder for the application. It isn't finalized yet. We won't finalize it. And unless and until you wish to approve this request.
I move approval to authorize the submission of the mobility program project for smart scale application in the resolution 18.01.
The question about the mobility as a service component of the application. I know you initially in your comments said that it would be targeted at transportation providers, and the application itself used the phrase mobility providers. Is that just the transit agencies, or is it also the providers of roadway, whether that's VDOT or even transurban? Who are the users of the dashboard? It sounds like really intriguing work. I'm just trying to get a better read on who's using it to target and what services may have talked about service gaps.
But basically, any organization that provides transportation in form can have access to the dashboard. The intent is to make the data available so anyone who can use it to improve transportation.
So we might even see TNCs, for example.
Absolutely.
Yes,
some of our projects that we just put in a 6-year plan are actually dealing with decades of underfunding. Some you can move this forward in the future. This project in particular is future oriented and is truly region-wide and is the kind of thing that has immense potential to make everything else that we approve come up with to the maximum extent. The one suggestion I'm making in the application, because you mentioned the word safety in there somewhere, because I think it's implied, and I think we ought to make that very clear. But we're talking about optimizing the system and also improving the safety of all of our citizens in this region. So thank you very much for bringing us forward.
Okay.
Anything
else? All in favor, please aye. Aye. Any
Respecting the adoption of
smart scale project applications. Mr. Chairman, again, the Commonwealth is in the process of initiating the third round of the smart scale program. The final deadline for submitting applications for the third round is August 1st, so it's about 6 weeks away. Cool projects will be included in the Commonwealth 6-year program to be scheduled to be adopted by the Commonwealth Transportation Board in June of 2019, and this is for FY 2024-2025 revenue. Projects from transit agencies and the project applications that were received from localities that are, and these projects are identified in V-Trans, and there's a need of, located on the corridor, one of the corridors of statewide significance, a resolution of support from a regional entity when submitting the project applications is required. In our case, you are the regional entity regarding resolutions of support. I do want to thank the localities and agencies for the quick turnaround. I will note, just in case you do not have a July meeting, we did want to get this item on the agenda for tonight, and I gave them a short turnaround, and they gave the information back to us very quickly. I think we received 43 projects requiring NDTA endorsement via Resolution 1802.
Do you want to
Any discussion? Is there a motion approved? Ms. Golda, seconded by, Mr. Snyder. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Lastly, brush up for projects from the bill map. Bills that used to be Tiger.
Bills is what used to be Tiger, Mr. Chairman.
I still always hear memorizing what Tiger stood for.
Well, build is the better utilizing investment to leverage development transportation discretionary grant.
Never remember. Transportation improvements generating
The U.S. Department of Transportation published a notice of funding opportunity to apply for approximately $1.5 billion in the Build Transportation Discretionary Grant Program for FY18. These projects can support roads, bridges, transit, rails, ports, or intermodal transportation. I will note that any agency or entity that is awarded a Build grant, the maximum that you can receive is $25 million. We did get requests from four entities. I think we had three localities and one agency that are seeking MBTA endorsement, project endorsement, or letter of support, if you will, for their application. We had one from the City of Alexandria regarding their West End Transit Way project, VRE regarding the LaFont Station improvements, Fairfax County regarding Frontier Drive Extension, and then Loudoun County submitted for several projects, Route 15, Route 9, Route 7, and roundabouts on Braddock Road at Trailhead Drive and Route 15.
Any discussion or questions?
Well, I do want to know, back in February of this year, we did adopt the latest FY2024 CMAQ RSTP allocations, and you did give the executive director authorization to make adjustments as necessary. And again, because we're doing it for the life of the six-year program, we go off of the previous estimates, so sometimes we don't have the numbers that we think or the amounts we think we'll have, the funding amount. So there were some changes in the CMAQ and RSTP amount for FY2024. There was a reduction in CMAQ funds of approximately $6.7 million, and then we had additional funds in RSTP for 2018 and 2024. So what we did, we used RSTP to make some projects whole where we had to do the reduction, and that's laid out. So for 2024, there were reductions to two projects, Arlington County Commuter Services and the Richmond Highway BRT. So what we did was took the surplus RSTP funds because of this deduction in CMAQ and made those projects whole, and then we allocated the remaining amounts, as you see on page 2 in the staff report. I don't want to read through all of the projects, but that's how we handled it. It is important to note that all of these projects were previously approved by the authority in one of our CMAQ RSTP funding. Straw man, if you will.
Chairman Noyes, I made a mistake in my voting on item 6 and 7, and I really need to abstain from both of those. Like I said, I'll be working to see, and I just based on it. So, with your knowledge, that I do report this.
Can we just give a can we have a motion to reconsider item 6 and 7, Mr. Black, seconded by Mr. Parrish. All in favor of reconsidering these two items, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Now, item 6, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstention? Item 7, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Any abstention?
Thank you. Okay. I will suggest that the Planning Programming Committee report, Finance Committee report, Planning Coordination Advisory Committee report, and Technical Advisory Committee report were all dispatched with as part of item 6. Is that
correct?
All right. Ms. Long, anything else about our money to be done? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I do not have anything further.
Thank you. Finance Committee, you're going to call up July.
So, Ms. Stockton, do we have any action items to consider in July?
Not that I'm aware of, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
See, what the answer is looking for is no detail.
No, we do not know.
Oh, that's a great answer. So, do we have a motion to cancel the July meeting?
No,
move. all the people, please say aye. All right. Brandon, this is for you.
And you are all welcome to come listen to our meeting. I have no idea what would be on the agenda.
Maybe there's lots of people.
Oh, no, no. We have to actually try to have a good answer. It's the 17th and 18th.
Any other business coming forward to the authority? If not, we will see you in September.